Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, September 26th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on depression treatment.
Thanks for having me, Ted. It's great to be here to chat about this groundbreaking research.
Happy to be here as well, Ted. I'm looking forward to diving into this topic.
Today, we're discussing a groundbreaking study comparing psilocybin and SSRIs for depression treatment. Let's start with the basics. Eric, what exactly is psilocybin?
Well, Ted, psilocybin is the magic ingredient in magic mushrooms, if you will. It's a naturally occurring psychedelic compound that's been used for centuries in various cultures. Recently, it's been making waves in the medical community as a potential game changer for treating depression. Think of it as nature's own little mood lifter, but with a psychedelic twist.
Hold your horses there, Eric. While psilocybin might sound all magical and exciting, we can't ignore
it. I understand your concern, Kate, but let's not dismiss its potential benefits. The study shows promising results.
But it's illegal for a reason. We can't just start promoting the use of a controlled substance without considering the legal and ethical implications. What kind of message are we sending?
Let's take a step back here. Kate, you raise a valid point about the legal status. Can you explain to our listeners what SSRIs are and how they work?
Certainly, Ted. SSRIs, or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, are the go-to antidepressants for many doctors. They're like little happiness helpers that work by boosting serotonin levels in your brain. Serotonin is often called the feel-good chemical, so more of it usually means a better mood. These meds have been around for decades and have helped millions of people climb out of the pit of depression.
That's true, Kate, but let's not gloss over the downsides. Many patients struggle with some pretty nasty side effects.
Oh, come on, Eric. Those side effects are usually manageable. You're making it sound like SSRIs are.
But they're not minor for everyone, Kate. Sexual dysfunction and emotional numbness can seriously impact quality of life. The study shows psilocybin might offer similar benefits without these drawbacks.
We can't jump to conclusions based on one study, Eric. SSRIs have decades of research backing them up. Psilocybin is still the new kid on the block, and we need to be cautious about overhyping its potential.
You both make interesting points. Let's dig into the study details. Eric, what were the key findings that stood out to you?
The study's results are pretty exciting, Ted. They found that psilocybin was just as effective as escitalopram, a common SSRI, in treating depression over a six-month period. But here's the kicker. Psilocybin patients reported better psychosocial outcomes. We're talking about a greater sense of meaning in life, improved psychological connectedness, and better overall well-being. It's like psilocybin not only lifts the dark cloud of depression, but also helps people see the sunshine more clearly.
Now wait just a minute, Eric. We need to be careful about overstating these results. The sample size was tiny, just 59.
But Kate, even with a small sample, the results are statistically significant. We can't ignore the fact that psilocybin patients.
Those are all subjective measures, Eric. We need hard, concrete evidence before we start treating psilocybin like some miracle cure. What about long-term effects? What about potential for abuse? There are so many unanswered questions.
You both raise valid points. Let's look at this in a historical context. Eric, can you think of a similar breakthrough in mental health treatment from the past?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me of the introduction of Prozac in the late 1980s. It was a game changer that revolutionized depression treatment, much like psilocybin might do now. When Prozac hit the scene, it was like someone flipped a switch in the world of mental health. It offered hope to millions who had been struggling with traditional treatments. I see psilocybin following a similar path. Initial skepticism followed by widespread acceptance as more research rolls in.
That's quite a stretch, Eric. Prozac went through years of rigorous testing and FDA approval. Psilocybin is nowhere near that stage.
But Kate, Prozac also faced initial skepticism. It took time for it to be widely accepted, just like what's happening with psilocybin now.
The difference is that Prozac wasn't a controlled substance. We're talking about legalizing a psychedelic drug here. Do you really think that's going to happen overnight? There are huge legal and regulatory hurdles.
I get your concerns, Kate, but look at the impact Prozac had. It changed millions of lives. Psilocybin could do the same. We're not talking about handing out magic mushrooms like candy. It would be a controlled medical treatment, just like any powerful medication.
We can't ignore the potential for abuse, Eric. What if people start self-medicating with magic mushrooms? It's not like Prozac where you can just pop a pill. Psilocybin is a powerful psychedelic that alters your perception of reality. That's not something to be taken lightly.
Interesting comparison. Kate, despite your reservations, do you see any parallels between the Prozac revolution and this psilocybin research?
While I see Eric's point, I think it's premature to call this a revolution. Prozac had much more extensive research behind it before it became mainstream. We're talking about decades of studies, not just a handful. I agree that psilocybin shows promise, but we need to pump the brakes on the hype train. Let's see more long-term studies, larger sample sizes, and a better understanding of the risks before we start comparing it to the Prozac revolution.
But Kate, the initial results for psilocybin are incredibly promising. We shouldn't dismiss its potential just because it's in the early stages.
I'm not dismissing it, Eric. I'm just advocating for caution. We need more long-term studies before we can compare it to the Prozac revolution.
Both of you make compelling arguments. Let's look to the future. Eric, how do you see this research unfolding in the coming years?
I'm incredibly optimistic, Ted. I believe we'll see rapid advancement in psilocybin research. Within a decade, it could be a standard treatment option for depression. Just look at how quickly attitudes towards cannabis have changed. The same could happen with psilocybin, especially given its potential benefits. I envision specialized clinics popping up, similar to ketamine clinics for depression. People might go in for a supervised psilocybin session and come out with a new lease on life. It's not just about treating symptoms. It's about improving overall well-being and quality of life.
That's wildly optimistic, Eric. The regulatory hurdles alone could take decades to overcome. You're talking about completely overhauling our approach to mental health
treatment. But Kate, look at how quickly attitudes towards cannabis have changed. The same could happen with psilocybin, especially given its potential benefits. We're talking about dramatically improving people's
quality. Cannabis and psilocybin are very different, Eric. We're talking about a powerful psychedelic here. You can't just hand it out like it's no big deal. The infrastructure changes alone would be massive. It's not realistic to expect that to happen.
You both paint very different pictures of the future. Kate, what's your prediction for how this will play out?
I think we'll see more research, but it will be slow and cautious, as it should be. Psilocybin might end up as a last resort treatment for treatment-resistant depression. But the idea of it becoming a first-line treatment? That's a long shot. We're talking about a substance that radically alters your perception. It's not something you can just prescribe and send people home with. The logistical challenges alone are enormous. Where would these treatments be administered? How would we ensure patient safety? There are so many questions we need to answer before we can even think about widespread use.
Kate, you're being far too conservative. The study showed psilocybin outperformed SSRIs in several measures of well-being. It could become a first-line treatment. We're talking about
You're ignoring the practical challenges, Eric. How would psilocybin be administered? It requires supervision and a controlled environment. That's not something you can just do.
Those challenges can be overcome, Kate. Specialized clinics could be set up, similar to ketamine clinics for depression. The potential benefits make it worth pursuing aggressively. We're talking about improving people's quality of life.
Well, it's clear that psilocybin research is a hot topic with strong opinions on both sides. While the potential benefits are exciting, there are certainly challenges to overcome. Only time will tell how this new frontier in mental health treatment will unfold. Thank you, Eric and Kate, for sharing your insights with us today.